Sports, wine, life. This is the Macko and Cause podcast.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Macko and Cause podcast, After Dark. It's a little after 8 o'clock tonight, partially because traffic stunk. I'm Matt Cause, that's Bob Mackwitz. Hey Bob.
Hey Matt, thanks for making your way over to here.
Yep.
I found it tricky to come to your place today because my wife's, she's traveling. Mm-hmm. So I've got Charlotte at home.
Yep.
And this was a very, very generous offer on your part to come here tonight, even though tomorrow you've got so many Mitch Marner things to get to.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to drag you away from that. Oh, wait, maybe I'm not.
Why would you not be? Why would you not be sorry?
No, I am sorry, but I don't think I'm dragging you away from Mitch Marner stuff.
No, you can't. It's just,
you can't
it's
avoid
everywhere.
It. It is unavoidable.
We'll get there. First, traffic.
Okay.
So the bad part is I'm looking out of my balcony at the Gardner, and where I am, I'm basically the most east end part of the Gardner, where the DVP, you know, whoop, becomes the Gardner. And I'm just staring at it going, why aren't you loosening up? You know, it's like 6:45 and it's still rammed. I'm like, just why isn't everyone home? Like, where are you? Go to your home. So then I take the Lakeshore and I wonder why the Lakeshore is unusually crowded, especially in the left lane and the middle lane. And then the answer finally dawns. Cirque du Soleil is going on. So everyone's got to try to park to go see Cirque du Soleil, which is down by Ontario Place. And the amount of people doing the most crazy illegal three-lane changes, trying to find someone to park. It was nuts just what cars were doing. And you have to think, and most of those cars were probably small children, but the parents are like, bleep it. I'm going to do what I got to do.
Okay, I got to ask.
Yeah.
Do you really think all that traffic was caused by people trying to get to Cirque du Soleil?
On the lake shore, yes.
Really?
Yes, because everything was backed up because people were trying.
Yeah, but how big is the auditorium?
I have no idea, except the lineup for people turning left or turning right to get into parking, and then parking lots were full, so now everyone's just confused and stuck.
Okay, I've seen that before, but yeah. That doesn't even get that crowded for Leafs or Raptors games.
This was past where the ACC, this is west of where the ACC would be. Just trust me, there was a pocket of traffic a little bit west of Bathurst, east of Jameson, that was just nuts because it was a pocket of confusion and lawlessness.
Have you ever seen Cirque du Soleil?
Yeah.
What'd you think?
It's great.
Isn't it amazing?
It's so cool.
You know what I love most about it, though? Mm. There is a place now for people who are just flexible to find a home.
Oh, yeah. And extraordinarily strong. Like, the worst thing about going to Cirque du Soleil is if you get, like, a snack. Like, it's not good when you have, like, a Haagen-Dazs and you're looking at just these people that could not be in better shape. And then you feel more guilty as you're eating, like, a Haagen-Dazs or
something. We'll come back to Cirque du Soleil in a second. But isn't one of the most fun things in the world, and I don't know why it's so fun, but it just is, the Haagen-Dazs on a stick?
Oh, it's great.
Why is it so much more fun on the stick?
First, the crack of the chocolate, because it's good and hard, you know? So it's a well-put-together ice cream treat. So I think it's the crack. In much the same way you want that little crack on the creme brulee, same thing with the ice cream. So yeah, Haagen-Dazs, they do a good job.
That's a pretty snooty reference.
It was. But I knew it was snooty.
I got it. I got it, though. I understand.
Oh, I
knew. Best wine with the creme brulee?
What's that?
Best wine with the creme brulee?
You're going to want to just, you know, get a nice German ice wine. You know, Eisschwein.
Eisschwein?
So, yeah, go with that.
Isn't that pig? Schwein?
No, Eisschwein.
Is that what they call it?
Yeah. I mean, I might.
Does that mean cold pig?
No, it means ice wine, but I'm just putting a German flair to it. Like, it's W-E-I-N, you know, Eisschwein.
Oh, sideshow.
Sideshow Bob.
So anyway, going back to Cirque du Soleil.
Yeah.
I always look at them up there and I think, okay, what would you be doing if you weren't doing this? Because this is pretty specific.
It is.
You have the ability to twist into a figure eight and you have a mohawk.
Okay.
What else would you be doing?
Stuntman.
Stunt person.
Sorry, it's 2019. You're right. Shame on me. Body or stunt woman. Think about it. Body double. Body double. Maybe a bouncer. Security. Mm-hmm. Like something that requires.
They're pretty small, though.
They are. But see, that's what you want because You know, if you, when you're a bouncer and you're tiny, people are going to, you know, they're going to take you for granted. And then, bam, you're going to be able to get them with surprise. It's the only right. thing I can think of. Definitely those stunt person and body double.
Yeah, I just, I always feel like it's like an Occupy movement plus a sport.
Mm.
Cirque du Soleil. Everybody just seems a little left of center.
Yep.
Or we'll call it away from center.
Sure.
Hence the word eccentric,
mm-hmm.
away from center.
Oh.
All right, that's it for me. Let's okay. get to Marner.
All right.
And also, we threw out a Leafs in six words, which we'll do at the end of it. Okay, I've got a couple questions for you. And the easy, simple one to start with was, you were on the air today, and Darren Dreger just came out and disclosed, reportedly,
yep.
reportedly by him, that the Leafs offered, right at the beginning of the draft, like right after the draft, $11 million over 7 years?
Yep.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And
also, going a three-year bridge deal for $9 million or just under double what Nikita Kucherov got only back in 2016.
Right. Okay. What I saw on Twitter was a lot of anger.
Yeah.
Was that consistent with your show?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Be 80% anger. You know, then the 20%, he deserves it. So, yeah, that'd be the mix.
Okay, so here's my question, my more hockey question.
Mm-hmm.
I have not heard a credible person, or really anybody, with the exception of Jonas Siegel, defend Marner's expectations.
Yeah.
Are there any defenses for what Marner seems to be asking for?
Only that he's been more durable than Matthews and has been the team's leading scorer.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's the one you do. That's the one you know that Darren Ferris is using right now, which is true, except there's more of a premium on him being able to score goals. And I would, I think this is a pretty easy thing to say. Marner benefited a lot more playing with Tavares than Austin Matthews benefited playing with anyone else. You know what his line was game one last year?
Hang on, let me see. It was Zach Hyman.
Nope.
Wasn't Hyman?
Nope.
Was Hyman out?
Hyman might have been with Tavares.
Oh, I think it was with Tavares. You're yeah. right. Okay, so no, who was it?
Patrick Marleau and Tyler Ennis.
Ooh, look,
that good. Was his line on the first.
Oh, and I think actually Ennis registered a point, if I remember correctly. I think
probably
he might even
they
scored.
They beat Montreal 3-2 in overtime. The final game of the season, he also played with Marleau on the same line, much with a bunch of the games in the middle, and then a lot of Andreas Janssen and Kasperi Kapanen. The point is, yes, fantasy wise, Marner's been more valuable, but Austin Matthews is the better player.
Yeah, also, Marner does a lot of damage on the power play,
mm-hmm.
and I think Austin Matthews is the substantially superior player 5-on-5, which once you get to the playoffs,
yeah,
that's really, you're going to win your games in those tight playoff games 5-on-5. You can't always rely on your special teams to help you out.
Exactly.
There's a million reasons to suggest why Marner is asking for too much, and almost none to suggest that he's asking for just the right amount, other than the defense that it's his right to ask.
It's his right to ask, absolutely. This is not business, though.
No, it's stupid. And you said something interesting, and so I wanted to give you a chance to sort of filibuster on it. You threw out the concept that the longer this goes, the more personal it becomes.
Yep. This is personal. Right now, this is not about business. And in life, we all take things personally. A lot of times that we shouldn't, but we just do because we're human. But let me ask you some questions.
Okay.
Would you said off the top the 7-year, $11 million contract. That's a lot of money, right?
Yeah, I would say definitely too much.
Yeah. And the 3-year, $9 million would be not only history-making, it would be history-making by almost double. So would it be fair to say those are fair contracts?
More than fair.
Okay.
For me to say they were fair, they would have to be good for both sides.
Okay.
And I think these would be heavily skewed towards the Marner camp.
Perfect. Let's go down there. When you think of the Maple Leafs, they're not the cheap team. Like, they're not like the Cincinnati Bengals or the Ottawa Senators. Would that be fair?
Well, there's a salary cap, so there's only so cheap you can be. But yeah. They'll spend to the cap.
They'll spend to the cap.
So, no. By any definition, they are not cheap.
They'll always do what it takes. So, the Maple Leafs have offered incredibly fair to overly generous contract offers in the 3-year and the 7-year to Mitch Marner. And he still said no. It means only one thing. If this was a business deal, he would have signed it. This is personal. This is about ego, status. It's about all those sorts of things. Because these are some really good deals they've offered, and he said no. So I look at this, and this is personal, because he looks at Austin Matthews. He's like, I need to get just as much as him. And his team is doing him a disservice because he knew that the public attention was going to be very negative towards him, and it has been. I'm not saying he's greedy or evil or bad, but he is misguided, and this has become personal, and it's not about business, and this is a bad decision-making that's going on in the Marner camp.
The obvious point that we keep coming back to is he's hurting his marketability. I think people forget if there's success. I mean, if he has another 90-point season, then they win the cup.
That doesn't matter. It's all water
in
the
bridge. Booster juice.
Oh yeah, absolutely. No. If he signs and he's great, we'll forget it. I mean, we're sports fans. We have a moving target of morality all the time. At one point, players smoking marijuana was bad on you. Now we don't care.
Right, and they used to smoke on the bench cigarettes.
Yeah,
or at least in the alleyway, in the causeway.
Yeah,
just behind the
exactly. So LaFleur, Fred Biletnikoff.
So let me think about this. So if you're the Marner camp, what leverage do you actually have? If you're the Leafs, mm-hmm. you don't have to sign him. And it seems pretty obvious no one else is going to. If he was going to be offer-sheeted, he would have been offer-sheeted by now.
Yeah.
So that avenue is probably dead, one would expect.
Yeah.
Who's going to trade for him, knowing that this is what he expects?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, that would be pretty hard for a team to give up somebody. So it's not like other teams are knocking down the door and you're going to have a chance at this contract. You made a great point about the Leafs. It's hard to imagine more than maybe two or three teams across the whole league who would even consider signing the contract that was already offered to him.
Oh, yeah. His value, it's funny. Like,
he's greater value to the Leafs than he is to everybody else.
Yeah. And, he's comparing himself. He's like, no, we're not comparing ourselves to other wingers. We're comparing ourselves to Matthews, to the guy who got all the B bonuses and we didn't get ours. Other teams like, wait a minute, we don't care about Matthews. You think you're making more than Nikita Kucherov? You think you're making more than this guy, this guy, or this guy? Get the hell out of here. So he might not have as much leverage. And again, this all goes back to this has become personal because his decision-making has become incredibly clouded.
See, this is the thing, is I keep trying to figure out, if you're that camp and this is what you've turned down, mm-hmm. what offer do you think is coming?
Yeah.
What sweeter offer could possibly be coming down the pipe? I don't get it.
Yeah.
So your thesis sounds more right than anything else. Mm-hmm. But making it personal isn't going to make Dubas sign. Like, he was already ready to sign a crazy contract. And by the way, good on you, Dubas, for learning when you keep these things quiet, the negotiations to protect the player, everyone just winds up mad at you later. So you know what? If we're getting a training camp and they're unsigned, throw them under the bus. Here you go, Marner camp. Beep.
Yeah,
just backing up right over that action.
And, it's like, this is what they offered. The thing is, the Maple Leafs are not bad guy team. They're not like one of these teams.
No, they're the good guy team, player-wise.
Progressive Kyle Dubas, Babcock, we're going to make it a safe space. Dubas, it's a partnership. Do you think Ed Snyder back in the day would have been like, huh? What the hell are you talking about?
Like, Scotty Bowman would still be trying to figure out, okay, which guy's Marner again?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. So it's just like, again, I don't do any of this analysis or conversation by ascribing negative feelings or negative attributes to Marner because he's taking this personally. It's like getting angry at the car that cuts you off. That car that cuts you off, they're not attacking you, the individual. They're going after the metal box that they just want to get in front of. And right now, Mitch Marner, it's anger. And I think, his dad was always angry that Marner wasn't considered for captain. So there's a lot of resentment. And this has become overly emotional when it's supposed to be business. And in any negotiation, both sides are not supposed to get everything they want. And the thing about business and negotiation is the goal is to make a deal. I don't think the Marner camp is trying to make a deal.
But if they're not trying to make a deal, then what are they trying to do?
They're trying to prove a point.
But what's the point?
The point is, give me as much as Matthews. I'm worth it. Like, if the goal, like if someone said our number one goal is either to sign a deal by training camp or prove to the world I'm just as good and deserve as much as Austin Matthews. If those are the two options, which one do you think that Ferris and the Mariners are taking?
Okay, fair enough. So I think your position is reasonable. Yeah. It makes sense what you're saying. So
be wrong, but
no. But it makes sense. In a situation that doesn't have a ton of it, your thought's as good as any.
Sure.
And probably better than most. So let's just use that as the operating truth.
Okay.
They want the Marner deal, the Matthews deal. We kind of know that already. And it's personal for them. Mm-hmm. They're trying to stick it to the Leafs to say, don't put Mitch in a box. Nobody puts Mitch in the corner, right? Okay. How do you move forward from here then?
You wait.
Who's you wait? Like which? Who's the you
Dubas
in this sense?
And Leafs management, they wait.
Right.
These are the deals.
Because time is on their side.
We've given you options. We've given you fair options at different term. This is what we're offering. And the funny thing is, Pierre LeBrun wrote a piece in The Athletic where he talked to a lot of different executives and agents. Even most of the agents, the money they thought that Marner should get was around or even maybe a little bit less than what the Leafs did. You know, the first agent said $12 million. I'm like, aha, agent. You know, and then, you know, the first executive, $7 million or something like that. But by and large, the consensus that all the agents and executives, all of the amount of money they said was either what the Leafs were offering or a little bit less. I don't know what more Dubas and Leafs can do.
If Marner goes to Switzerland,
yep.
I don't want to say something dramatic like Leafs fans will never have him back because that's not true.
No, that's not true at all.
He's an excellent player and,
yeah.
You know, the Leafs have a window. I think that what will happen, though, is you know how they want him to be the captain? The Marner camp wants Mitch to be the captain?
Yeah.
Or at least thinks that they should be considered in that conversation? That will never happen. Mm-hmm. And what will never happen is he will never be the most loved player on this team. There will always be an asterisk by his name. If they win, a lot can be forgiven.
Yes.
But it's not going to be forgotten. Not with the assortment of talent that they have on the team. Like, let's just say this team, even though I don't think this is a cup-winning team, but let's just say they did because they could.
Yeah.
They're good enough that they have a puncher's chance.
No one would have said the Blues were a cup-winning team.
Sure. You know, they get hot. Freddie Anderson gets hot. Austin Matthews goes, you know, supernova. Mm-hmm. And they could do it.
Yeah.
Matthews, Tavares, Riley, they're gonna feel like the glue.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that matters to him. Like, you talk about what's personal and you talk about how you're remembered. I know he's a kid. Mm-hmm. And it's really hard to think about how you're going to be remembered. But let's stop for a second here. This would be the Leafs' first cup since 1967.
It's been a while.
This is the holy grail in the NHL. Mm-hmm. And for a local kid to drive play on that team, you will be a folk hero forever. Unless you're a total knob and you spend half the season in Switzerland. And he would be gone for the year anyway.
Yeah.
You know, or next year, whenever it is that he comes back. Why would anyone do that? Like, it's... Oh. I got to take... Can you do a quick read?
Of course I
gotta
can. Take we the will phone pick here. Up right where you left off. Now, listen, everyone, don't be a knob. Don't ignore your legal responsibilities.
It's like I'm not ignoring my wife on the phone.
Exactly. Bob is not ignoring Sandra, and I am not ignoring the fact that our lawyer, his name is Jeff Pollock. You can get him at jeffpollock.com. That's the website. 416-777-0088. 416-777-0088. The great thing is in life, there's so many things we got to deal with. You got to deal with, you know, your mortgage or taxes or kids. And there's all these little check, there's all these boxes you got to check. Well, one of them is your legal, you know, just the fact that you are, from time to time in your life, you're going to need a lawyer, whether it is a will, litigation, states, trust, corporate, commercial, real estate law. You're going to need a lawyer. So wouldn't it be better if you had someone you could trust, someone who is really good at their job, and so you would never have to worry about it again. Again, jeffpollock.com, 416-777-0088. He is our lawyer. He is fantastic. He should be your lawyer as well. And again, a shout out to the rest of the family, Daniel, Elizabeth, and Alexandra. Hey, do you want to get good seats and not have to spend top dollar? You do, I do. I'm going to see John Mulaney in a couple of weeks. Seatgiant.ca, they're a Canadian partner on this show. And they are Canadian owned and operated. And all the tickets, they're in Canadian dollars. Use the discount code Bob and Matt at checkout and you save money. And the great thing is we get a small cut of it, which is good because we've got to pay a monthly due to Audio Boom. Seatgiant.ca, discount code Bob and Matt. Easy, fantastic. I use them. You should use them as well.
Thanks for that, Maddie.
Yep, no worries.
That was well done.
Yeah.
You really bailed me out of a situation there.
Yeah, exactly.
Not really.
No, not really.
Okay, so I asked for people to send in some Leafs in six words.
Yep.
Because I thought, you know what, we're on the cusp of the season and everyone would be so hot after Marner that we'd get some stuff.
Yeah.
We really did. Mm. So while my computer is firing up here, do you have one that you'd like to share?
I can't do any of them. I don't have your Wi-Fi code.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to give it out. Okay, so what's your Leafs in six words, though?
Oh, mine is the Marner camp has Marner's camp has made it personal.
Yeah, I think you made a good point there, too. All right, mine? Willie's contract looks pretty good now.
Yeah.
All right, let me see. Okay, so Captain Oblivious, good handle. What the is with Marner?
Mm-hmm.
E. Freeds writes, Babcock will replace Marner with Moore. Mm-hmm. That's kind of a double shot there.
Yep.
Paul Zhang, Marner's obsession with Matthews is creepy. And Charlie Plant wants to just know, when will they win a cup?
Yeah.
We'd all like to know.
We'd all
Wendell
like to
Roberts, know. Leafs fans can't have nice things. Oh, Mike Zakas, Boy Wonder GM, not so wonderful. GM, technically not a word, but it's okay.
We'll allow it.
Vladimir O'Shea Jr., general manager, in over his head. And Mark Shanley, take the 11 and shut up. By the way, I like this from Buffalo Phil. Maple Leafs new captain, Paul Marner.
That is good. Nice that job is pretty there, good. Buffalo
you know what?
Phil.
We got a whole bunch. And oh, I like this, even though it's five words. Kim Alexander, looking forward to the season? Question mark. Nah, you should. You should look forward to
it. I am. I'm very excited for the season.
Totally. Which brings me to my next Marner question.
Megan. Yeah.
Let's say he's not there for the next 2 months, or maybe even all year long.
Yep.
What do you do if you're the Leafs? Because you still got to play and you still got to win. Whether Marner's there or not, the expectation's going to be that this team wins in the first round.
Yep. If you are the Leafs, Kyle Dubas has one job, trade Mitch Marner.
Mm-hmm.
You can get a ton for him. And if you're Kyle Dubas, you point to the Artemi Panarin deal.
Yep.
And say, see, I mean, yeah, he's asking for the world, but Marner is worth it. Look at Panarin's getting all this. You like to other teams that are in a different salary cap space than the Maple Leafs. And for Dubas, it's like, hey, we've got Matthews and we've got Nylander. We've got Tavares. Like, we have all this talent here. You know, we would have kept Marner in a heartbeat, but he just wants a little too much. And you can afford him. And this team can afford him. Go get 100 draft picks for him.
Don't you think, though, Dubas's hands are kind of tied because nobody is going to want to pay Marner what Marner wants to make?
That's why you got to try. Well, because if he could make Panarin money, because Panarin's, I think, second right now in the NHL.
But just Panarin was UFA, and Panarin's been doing it a little longer.
Yeah. Well, yeah. No, it's true. It's the best I got. It's the best I could come up with.
I agree.
That was my Kyle Dubas. That's my pitch. Is then you got to try to trade Marner.
But then you start getting into, okay, so who skates in that top six on the left wing and on the right wing?
Like, yeah.
They're much less offensively fearsome without Mitch Marner in the lineup. That's just the fact.
That is as Captain Obvious as it gets.
Yeah, and you got to start hoping that this Ilya Mikhailov character is good.
We're now relying on this fella a lot more than we were than we thought we were a month or so ago.
Yeah, I might didn't even say his name right, I don't think.
Do you think I was going to correct
him? Free agency signing. No, I know. Yeah. We'll be hearing it lots over the next couple of weeks.
Ugh.
You know, there was that, I'm sorry, I forgot your name, but the Leafs in six words about he'll be replaced with Trevor Moore.
Yeah.
Well, you know, after you get past, without Zach Hyman in the lineup,
mm-hmm.
after you get past Johnson and Kapanen, it starts getting a little thinner on
there's
the wing.
There's an absolute drop, you know.
And of course, Nylander. Of course, Nylander.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to be skating with Matthews, which is why I don't really consider him in this conversation. I have a hot take here.
Do it.
If Marner's out, John Tavares becomes the most important player on the Leafs.
Well, yeah, because he's going to help elevate whoever the wingers are with him. And he's done it before, got the Anders Lees of the world.
The Matt Molsons of the world.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of players, you know,
yeah.
who have made money.
Oh, yeah.
They used to say that about Jason Kidd in basketball, about he made a lot of forwards, a lot of money over the years.
Yeah, 100%. Same thing, Steve Nash. Like, those guys make other guys money. And, you know, it's always one of my arguments when someone says Marner should get paid as much as Matthews. I'm like, Marner benefited so much from playing with Tavares. Matthews didn't benefit from his teammates as much. You know, he was out without Nylander. When Nylander came back, he was a shell of himself. You know, and he still put up career high points while still missing a whole bunch of games. Austin Matthews did. So, you know, for Marner and his camp, they got to realize, I know you think you're as valuable as Matthews, but you're not. You're damn valuable. You know, you're a hell of a player, but you're just not Austin Matthews.
You know, one of the tricky things is because Matthews was hurt,
mm-hmm.
I don't know that we've ever seen Matthews at his best for long enough that we ever felt comfortable to say, he's a superstar. We've seen him play like a superstar, but I don't know if we're comfortable to say he is one. You can't put him in the same conversation with Connor McDavid.
No.
You can't even put him in the same conversation with a Nathan MacKinnon or a Kucherov.
Yep, not yet. But I think he will this year.
Talent-wise, I think you can't. I think so, too.
I think he will this year.
And you've made this point. I've made it, too, that this is the year that Austin Matthews steps up and takes over this team.
Yeah.
Because I don't think if both these guys put on the afterburners and played their best game, that we would look at Mitch Marner in the same way. I think Matthews is growing into his role. And I think this is the year where we look at him and go, sweet Lord, we haven't had a player like this since Matt Sundin, and even he wasn't this good.
Agreed. If Austin Matthews had not missed a game the last 2 years, the conversation would be different in terms of how much money Marner would want, because if Austin Matthews was healthy, he would be the Leafs' leading scorer for all 3 years he's been on the team, and not just his rookie year where he played every game.
And, you know, last year they moved him up to the first power play unit, but he wasn't there previously, and he probably could have padded his numbers had he been playing with better players on that first unit.
Yeah.
I really love, like, and this is not a sensational point, but I love Matthews, but I'm prepared to love him more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and I think that's going to happen now. So Mitch has to be careful with that, because I don't know if Mitch Marner's ever going to play better than he plays right now.
Yep, 100%.
I don't see that there's some new dimension to his game. You know, the penalty killing was interesting, though, so maybe I should watch what I'm saying, because people didn't think of him in that context, and he added a lot to the Leafs through
Marner's
his penalty
killing. Marner's wonderful as a penalty killer, absolutely. Again, none of these skills are as important as scoring 5-on-5, as we said off the top.
It is, in the end, it is the most important thing you can do.
Yep.
Pitchers miss bats and get strikeouts. NHL players score goals at 5-on-5. That's what it's all about.
Yep.
All right, I got some Leafs questions to roll through.
All right, let's do it.
Which new player are you most interested to see?
Tyson Barrie.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. It's the easiest answer. I'm not going to go Kerfoot, you know, or is it Kerfoot? I still don't know. It's Tyson Barrie because
it's Cabrera.
Yeah.
It's Cabrera.
Cabrera. Ooh, by the way, off topic for a quick second.
Not like us, but
my wine podcast, I interviewed this winemaker, Chris Cooney, and he works for this very famous Napa, winery. This will lead to Cabrera, and it's spelled D-A-N-A. How would you pronounce that?
D-A-N-A?
Yeah.
Dana.
Dana. Or maybe Dana.
Dana.
Dana. Dana. Or Dana.
Dana.
So I introduce him, I guess. And of course, now is it Dana or is it Dana Estates?
Great. Can I guess?
What?
Dana.
Yes. He's like, oh, no, it's Dana. And I'm like, all right, so I'm an asshole twice over. You know?
It's okay, Matt. You're allowed to swear. Matt's worried about swearing because my little daughter is playing gotcha on the couch over there.
She didn't even hear.
Come on over.
Oh, shit. I'm surprised it
took. Here comes the cops.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hey, Cece. Your favorite subject right now is science, right?
Yee. I love zoology.
That is awesome. That is so good. Stick with that as long as possible. And you should tell the listeners, what sporting event did you kick some butt in recently?
Cross country.
Nice.
And track and soccer, but mostly cross country.
That is good, because that's also a sport that doesn't require, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars. Avoid hockey. No one likes hockey. Yeah.
Well, I don't.
Yeah.
Any fun facts for Uncle Matt?
Who?
I know a lot about the Beatles, so I have a fun fact. Did you know the song Yellow Submarine was actually not written by Ringo Starr? It was a Paul McCartney song that he gave away, just like A Little Help from My Friends.
Really? I did not. That's really nice of Paul McCartney to give that to Ringo.
Uh-huh. Ringo didn't have that many songs, so.
Yeah, he didn't. Oh, that's a great fun fact.
Can you name two songs that Paul drummed on?
Dear Prudence and Back in the USSR.
Oh, look at you. This is great. Your dad must be so happy because he gets to relive the Beatles through you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Bye, sweetie.
Bye, Cece. Au revoir. Okay. Au revoir.
Charlotte, where?
She's right now, people need to know, Cece is on your computer. I have no
retyping
idea what she's doing.
Retyping my notes.
Yeah, let's.
Criticizing. Yeah, okay. Go to the Chris couch, honey.
She's a shy one. Hopefully one day she'll break out of her shell.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. So Tyson Berry, just I'm curious to see that level of offensive skill, to see a better version of what Jake Gardner was.
Dying to see what he can do with Morgan Riley.
Yeah.
I hope they play them together. I would expect they would.
I doubt it.
You really think so?
Yeah, I don't think Babcock's going to do it.
See, I keep thinking.
I think it's going to be CeCe. I think it's Cody CeCe and Morgan Riley.
No, don't put him on the first. Like, you know, I just have memories of Keith Ollie.
I know.
Like, I know it's not fair to CeCe to compare him to Keith Ollie, but just like the idea of like that guy who doesn't really. How many Leafs teams have to have the guy who doesn't belong on the first pairing playing there?
It's an annual tradition, Bob. It's, you know, it's part of the team. It's going to be CeCe.
It's just like the Kennedy family football on the lawn at Thanksgiving. Yeah. Like, you just have to do it.
Yeah, exactly. Pardoning the turkey at Thanksgiving as well.
Oh, man.
I bet even PETA was still pissed off when Trump did it. They'd still find a way to, you know, to rip on him.
Wasn't it fun the few times that Riley and Gardner would play up there?
Of course.
And they would be skating and passing.
Yeah, you're like, wow, look at this. You know, and then, you know, it's... And then it would go away, you know?
And it's interesting because as much as I want to see Tyson Berry, to this point, to this conversation, I kind of want to see how Mike Babcock is going to use him. Because I don't know if you know this, but he's a bit of a contrarian. A
little bit.
Mike Babcock.
Yeah.
And so you get him a new toy to play with, and he just might say, okay, well, I'll partner him up with Jake Muzzin.
Wait and see. I just don't expect a lot of excitement.
I actually expect him not to be on the first pairing, and I expect to be disappointed and frustrated by that decision. Yeah.
I have an analogy, but it's slightly sexual. I don't know if
just do it. She's not listening.
Okay, that's kind of what I thought. Like when you
were slightly. Okay, she just yelled at. Yes, I am.
Yeah,
listening.
I'll save it.
Sorry, Matt. It's
fine. I heard a lot of F-bombs.
Yeah, this is not an F-bomb. Yeah, it involved a thong. Anyway,
Every one of your analogies involves a thong.
Like, I got back from Europe. I was in Croatia.
Every 2 or 3 weeks, you're bringing up thongs.
Yeah. What other Leaf questions you got?
What else? Well, I got, who is Alex Kerfoot? I guess we'll find out in all due good time. Let's see. What else do I have here? Will Babcock like his new options and treat them like the Hunger Games fighting for those forward spots?
Oh, I think I think part of him, by the way, my favorite was they asked Babcock the other day about Marner. And after about 4 seconds of him saying optimism things, he immediately just went, oh, that's on Kyle Dubas. You know, I'm sure the deal's got to get done, but that's on Dubas on that team. I mean, he walked away from that as quick as possible. The analogy I gave is when you find out your friend is going to be needing help because he's moving and you mention as quick as you can that your back is acting up. It's like, I can't help you here. Like, Babcock's like, I want no part of that.
I didn't hear it, but I understand that he was also asked, Babcock was, about the backup goalie situation.
And
his response was, my job is to get into the playoffs.
Yeah,
which didn't really sound like load management.
No. What they meant, it would have been a simple one. Bleep load management. That's basically what Mike Babcock said.
You know, that's about it. I guess we can figure out, you know, like how the special teams are going to work out, who the captain is, but...
We got plenty of time.
Yeah, we got plenty of time for that. I feel like, what did we do? Like a half an hour on the Leafs?
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we're like 32 minutes in.
That's a lot.
Yeah, real quick. What are you doing this year in terms of with Charlotte's school? Last year, you were really involved. A lot of PTA stuff. What is it? What is it this year?
I'm thinking about going back to the PTA.
Really?
Yeah. It's not that I miss it.
Yeah.
But I feel like I yap all the time about how people need to be involved in their community.
Yep.
Well, it's fine to say.
Yeah.
In fact, it's pretty easy.
It's really easy to say.
Super easy. Oh, I could just tweet about how important it is to be involved in your community.
Do some likes, you know, retweet, retweet some you know, liberal message, blah, 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 about the neighborhood. But
the truth is, this is something I can do. It's something I did. It was frustrating a lot of times.
Yeah.
But I kind of thought, you know...
That makes sense.
You're kind of a blowhard unless you actually do give your time.
Yeah. Yeah, and the good thing is when you give your time, then you can be even a more of a blowhard. And on top of that...
Oh, Matt, I'm so much better being sanctimonious than I am at being a fraud.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, exactly. And then the best thing is, you know, then you can lord it over other people on social media.
And
you know?
I can't wait.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? In fact, I volunteer with the Sororin Park Hosers. It's a group that keeps the rink flooded and kept, and, you know, we go out at night. And I do it once a week.
Yeah.
It's not that hard. And it's kind of nice. You stay in there. But boy, when I tell people, I expect results.
Yeah, yeah. You just, the shine on you is a little more.
So what'd you do last night? Oh, I was out on the rink. I was just watering it down. You taking your kids skating today? Yeah, yeah. I did that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know what? You're welcome.
All right, I got a bunch of topics for you here. Yeah, is there anything you desperately want to do? Or you
No. I did all the gas bagging on mine.
I don't know. I thought your points were really interesting.
Yeah.
I threw out some notes to you. Here's some just random stuff.
Yeah.
I found the craziest show on television.
Really?
The craziest show I've ever seen. It's called Release the Hounds.
What?
Okay. So I'm watching. You know there's that Game TV?
Yeah, yeah.
Right? It's in between TSN and Sportsnet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? And there's that $4.99 channel.
Yeah, those odd channels. We're like, what the
hell?
It's
always like crazy gamer shows.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And Gabriel Morency, what's his name? Yeah. You know, he does stuff.
Yeah,
Gabe Morency. I'm watching this one time, and they got a show called Release the Hounds.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know I'm going to watch that.
Yeah.
So I tune it on, and it's three people who have to do all of these. They go like a horror movie, and they've got all of these games that they have to play and win, and they get points. And each point translates into seconds, because at the end of the game, there's like a 150-yard path. And at the end of the path is thousands of dollars. And you earn time as a head start, because once you get past that time, they release the hounds.
Really?
And a gate opens and a pack of dogs comes out.
Oh my God.
And chases you down. And if you can make it to the end and get out, you get the money. And if not, you get pulled down by a pack of hounds.
Now, are they're wearing the full protective?
No, they're not.
What?
Matt, I thought
how is that legal?
But you couldn't really run in that.
How is that legal? Matt, B, how much insurance do you have to sign?
They shot it wide is all I'm going to say. Okay. They shot it wide.
Wow. I mean, the amount of papers and legal documents you'd have to go through to say, I'm okay with this.
I believe it's been banned.
Okay, that's good.
I think it, now I went and I looked online. It was it's a British show, a one episode, special for Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
So popular that they picked it up for 8 special episodes. And I think it ran for a little while, but it's off the air now. Release the Hounds. And the woman I watched running from the dogs was terrified.
She should be.
She was terrified.
Yeah.
And the dogs were running.
I have a couple questions here.
Okay.
First, I kind of feel bad for the contestants. What's going on in their life where they're like, I need to do this?
Right.
The second is it's sort of an obvious statement about society when there's a show where people get chased by dogs and there's one episode and it becomes really popular. And the audience's reaction of people getting attacked by dogs is, I want more of that.
I was fascinated by it.
Yeah.
I don't think you could do it here.
No.
The Brits are pretty crazy.
Yeah.
But
I mean, I thought the Japanese game shows were nutty. They are. Yeah. Yeah.
But there was a degree of cruelty to this that I don't think you see on TV very often. So I've recorded a bunch of them. I haven't watched the rest, but I just need to know more.
Well, you know, let's save that for Daddy Daughter Day, you know. Just
yeah.
All right, sweetie. Today is Daddy Daughter Day. By the way, isn't it?
I gave her video games to play.
Yeah,
that's not good parenting, is it?
Well, whatever. I grew up with video games and TV.
And look how you turned out.
When I was a kid, me and my brother, when we were like grade 5, we had a TV in our room and we watched Benny Hill. I still remember the episode where there was toplessness. He was dressed as Dracula. And then the maiden was up at the top of the tower, and I couldn't believe it. They cut to the tower, and you know there was two towers.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. But so I watched Benny Hill.
Does that sound like a mistake that got to air?
I don't know. The sad thing is, I sometimes forget my dad's birthday. He's 86. So I've had plenty of opportunities, you know, to wish him happy birthday. But you know what I don't forget? The moment when I saw that on television. I was in grade like 5 or 6. I still remember.
You ready for this one?
Yeah.
Release the Hounds.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Two puppies came out. Oh, high five. Wow.
Yeah. Yes. That sound?
Yeah.
The show hitting bottom.
Yeah.
Okay. So, It 2?
I heard it's super long. I haven't seen it yet. I can't wait.
You know what? I saw a cover of one of these awful Hollywood magazines they give you out at the movies, and it was a picture of Bill Hader with, and underneath it said, Bill Hader, Hollywood's It Boy.
You know, there was some copywriter that was so pleased with himself for that.
Someone gave themselves a little punch on the arm.
Oh, yeah. Oh, what a horrible one.
But I promised you that I would put together a list of the top 5 Stephen King adaptation movies of all time. And you know, there's been a lot. I believe it's 33.
There's been so many.
He writes a lot.
Yeah.
You might not remember this. It's kind of an obscure movie, but back, Eric Stoltz plays a writer who gets into an accident and loses the use of his legs called The Water Dance. Do you remember that?
I don't.
Oh, so anyway, it was a movie from a long time ago. Anyway, he's this snarky sort of bitter writer. And someone says, I'm reading Stephen King. You like him? And he goes, he's fast.
I feel Stephen King must have had seven divorces.
So just the Larry King seven pack?
Well, no, I mean, just for him because he needs the money.
Right.
Much like the Nick Cage IMDb page over the last 15 years. Like, you can tell sometimes, ooh, that artist needs money.
Oh, you know what's a good one? And I'll flip this to you for next week.
Yeah.
Actors who don't mind doing it for the money.
Michael Caine.
Michael Caine is number one. Samuel Jackson.
Samuel Jackson. Nick Cage.
Morgan Freeman,
yes.
He's been in a lot of things.
And he did like a Fritos commercial for the Super Bowl couple of years ago. Ooh, and Kevin Hart.
Kevin Hart.
He's done a lot.
He has done a lot. And a lot of it's been pretty crappy. Yeah, but the thing is, those guys are making big movies. You have to be a great talent who's willing to do small, the schlock. Right.
Okay, yeah, no, fair point.
Like Michael Caine was in Jaws 4.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no.
And Jaws 4.
The shark follows them to the Bahamas. Follow them to the Bahamas.
Psychically.
Mm-hmm. Totally believable.
Psychically following his link with the Brody family.
So what's your top five?
Okay. Number five, not necessarily a well-known story by Stephen King, but a great movie, The Running Man.
Yes.
Starring Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yes.
Maria Conchita Alonso and Richard Dawson. Mm-hmm. Perfect as the smarmy game show host. It's funny talking about Release the Hounds because back 1987, The Running Man, we were like, are they really going to do that?
Jesse the Body Ventura as well.
So good.
Yep.
Fireball. So good. Number four, The Dead Zone.
Yep.
Starring Christopher Walken. Mm-hmm. David Cronenberg adaptation of the novel.
Yep.
Still so spooky.
Yeah.
Creepy.
The ice is... I'm not going to try.
No, don't even say it. Don't even say it. It's too terrifying. Number three, one of the nicer stories he had, Stand By Me.
Oh, yeah.
Rob Reiner film, Castle Rock. Beautiful.
Yep.
Amazing coming-of-age story. Number two, one of the scariest movies of all time, Carrie.
Carrie.
The 1976 version, directed by Brian De Palma.
Mm-hmm.
They're all going to laugh at you. And then when she snaps, and then they go split screen for all the destruction. Spoiler alert, Carrie snaps.
Yeah.
Sorry if I ruined that for you, but you had 43 years to see it. I find that movie terrifying. I found it terrifying then, and I find it actually scary now.
Is it because of the religious parts to it? Like, because I don't find Carrie that scary.
Really? Oh, the ending terrifies me to this day.
Yeah.
I don't know that it's a classic horror, but it's such a, like, the acting in it is so good.
Whether
it's Sissy Spacek in the lead role or Piper Laurie, and I believe she was nominated for an Oscar as the crazy mom.
Yeah.
And even just the bit players, like the gym teacher, John Travolta and Nancy Allen.
Mm-hmm.
I believe he actually, Brian De Palma married Nancy Allen just after this movie. But anyway, I love Carrie. And then number one, because it's one of the greatest movies of all time, it's The Shining.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Any disagreement with my list, or did I nail it? I left off something very specific, which I thought you would be all over.
You left off Shawshank.
I left off Shawshank.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. When you said Carrie, I'm like, wait a minute, you have Carrie, but you still have The Shining and Shawshank. How come is Shawshank just, why is Shawshank not there?
Because I don't think it's aging well.
What?
I don't think it's aging
well. Shawshank Redemption is one of the most rewatchable movies.
Yeah. I know that there's a sort of a...
What do you got an aging one? It's a great movie. It's great scene after scene. In this, I couldn't disagree more.
I know. It's a little hokey.
It's optimistic. It is well done optimism. And if it's well done, then I don't look at it as hokey. Much the same way Rushmore is a very optimistic movie. I don't view it as hokey.
But Rushmore is also very quirky.
Mm-hmm. It is.
There's elements to the Rushmore story that are novel and unexpected. Mm-hmm. I feel like Shawshank is kind of, I don't want to say paint by numbers because it is a good movie.
Yeah.
But in time, when we look back over all these movies, I think Shawshank's reputation will continue to fade. I think it has been saved, frankly, by TBS because they played it so many times.
I don't think it's fading at all. I think it's still I made my producer watch it He's 23 years old. He loved it.
Yeah.
You know, so on this, we're just going to have to disagree. Yeah,
it's entertaining, and I'm not calling it a bad movie.
But I think I think it's a great movie. It was nominated for Best Picture, but unfortunately, it was the same year as Pulp Fiction. And what won that year? And
that was 94.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember. What won? God, I should remember that. Anyway.
I think you can quibble with The Running Man, but I like The Running Man.
I love
so
The
much.
Running Man.
And it's so entertaining, and it's so prescient.
It's awesome. I'm never going to say a bad thing about the Running Man.
And as for the other four, Shining, Carrie, Stand By Me, and The Dead Zone, I just feel like those are excellent movies. And Shawshank is good.
I would have Shawshank over Carrie.
You know the movie that was the hardest to chop out for me? There were two, actually. It was hard not to put up Christine, the haunted car movie, John Carpenter.
I think the score in that is so good.
It's a fun movie. It does a great job with a hokey premise.
Yeah.
And The Mist. Which is also a Frank Darabont movie, the same guy who directed Shawshank.
The end of The Mist.
For a long time, I rebelled against the ending because I thought it wasn't earned. I felt like they just took a really bleak ending and tacked it onto basically a B-horror movie picture. But the more I think about it, the more I think I didn't get it. Now I think it was an amazingly gutsy artistic choice.
Absolutely. Hey, what's the vampire movie?
Silver Bullet. No, that's the werewolf. Salem's Lot.
Salem's
Lot. And that terrified a lot of people.
Yes. That book.
I never saw it, though.
That book terrified me. And it's not a bad movie. Salem's Lot, that'd be the only one I might have thrown in there. Like maybe at number five. But I love The Running Man.
Yeah, and I thought about Silver Bullet, too. I didn't think it belonged on the list. But when you watch Stranger Things, you realize, like, that's totally the vibe they're going for.
Oh, yeah.
It's Stephen King, mid-80s, Cujo, Christine, Silver Bullet, Creepshow.
Gary Busey is great in that.
Graveyard Shift.
Yep. In Silver Bullet, when the sister is going around collecting cans to see, and she goes into the priest's garage to collect cans, and she sees the baseball bat from the dead bartender. Oh my God, that is a bar owner. That is a scary ass scene.
And Corey Haim.
Corey Haim.
Who had a heck of a run.
He was good in that movie.
You know, he was good in a lot of movies. Yep. He had a heck of a run. Okay, so that's my top five Stephen King movies.
Nice. Now, by the way, when do you got to put this one to...
Well, probably about half an hour ago, but legally, I think I have another half an hour.
Yeah, okay, just checking. I'm just checking. I don't want to get you in trouble.
I want to throw out some football stuff with you because the Bills and the Giants play this week.
They do.
That's your team and that's my team.
And Buffalo should be favored.
Can they tie this one too? Is this going to be like the Browns game? Is this going to be a tie?
Well, no, the tie was Detroit and Arizona.
Oh, sorry, that was the one, right?
Buffalo came back being down like 16-3 to beat the Jets.
I saw. I just made a bad reference. Yeah. No. I watched that game 17 in a row. It was brutal by the Jets, actually.
Yes, it was.
I couldn't believe they really couldn't do anything. And now everybody's hurting Sam Darnold has mono.
He's got mono. Is it wrong that when I heard he's got mono, I kind of giggled because when I think of mono, I think of me in high school in 1991 where mono was something you got from kissing a girl.
Yeah, it was like a hickey.
Yeah, exactly.
It was like a hickey and you had to wear a turtleneck to cover it up. Did you ever do that, by the way?
Oh, no, I showed mine loud and proud.
Oh, wow. That's you're terrible.
Oh, yeah, I strutted.
I had one once and I was just like, I'm
strutted for this.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah. You got a couple more years until you got to worry about that again.
Yeah, a couple more.
I'll say this. Sam Darnold is now in quarantine in his apartment. I imagine as a football player, a high first round pick, I bet he's got a really nice apartment. And with Uber Eats, Netflix, HD, it's not the worst thing in the world. Like if you have to choose a disease, having mono and being quarantined as a millionaire in probably an apartment with a beautiful view of Manhattan, it's not the worst.
Well, like the Jeffrey Epstein 6 days of like house arrest back in the day.
Yeah, but...
I think mono's pretty bad though, isn't it? Doesn't mono make you really sick?
It makes you sick. It makes you extremely fatigued and you will absolutely lose weight. Oh, no. I wouldn't wish this on someone, but I'm just grading on a scale.
Well, it's like when in the NHL when there was all those players that got the mumps.
Yeah.
I think it was the San Jose Sharks that got like completely rifled through with mumps. Yeah. And it sounded bad, but at the same time, you're like, mumps.
Mumps, yeah.
You know, what are you going to do, wrap a handkerchief around your head?
I don't even really know what the mumps are.
Nobody does.
No. But mono just feels like, you're making out with someone. High five. And now you're going to order as much Indian food as you want with Uber Eats and just get caught up on, you know, on your Netflix series.
All right. So the Giants, what are you watching for? Because the Bills, I actually think, even though I don't think they're going to make the playoffs because I don't think a wild card team is coming from the AFC East.
Yeah.
And you got the stinky Jets and the stinky Dolphins in your division.
Yep.
I expect them to win 7 games.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, Buffalo, you know, should.
They should be a 500 team.
They should be. They absolutely should be a 500 team.
If Josh Allen can play halfway decent,
yeah,
they should be a 500 team.
As for the Giants, it's just looking at the young skill players and things like that. They're a bad team. Their defense is horrible. I would rest Saquon Barkley for the next 2 years. I'd let him go get, I'd quarantine him at his New York apartment until the team got better.
Go get him to drink out of Sam Darnold's cup.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, they share a water bottle like they do on the San Jose Sharks bench.
Yeah. It's like, wow, did you see that run by Barkley? Yeah, it was great. Didn't matter. They got blown out. You know, like, he's an incredible player. He's just getting wasted.
Quick sidebar here. Is there any other sport where people play so fast and loose with water bottles? I never felt like the hockey bench was hygienic enough.
Mm.
I don't really see other sports treat like the sunflower seeds in the bench and the spit.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, that's no good.
There's nothing hygienic about a baseball dugout. It is disgusting.
What's worse? Hockey bench, baseball dugout.
I'm going to go baseball dugout because they're usually there longer.
Yeah.
And they're eating and
spitting.
And here's the thing. How many hockey players do you know while on the bench were chewing tobacco?
Yeah, none. But I'm going to go hockey bench for one word.
Okay.
Snot.
Yeah.
Snot on the bench.
Man. Yeah, there is.
Like, what's...
I'm still going to go chewing tobacco spit. I'm still going to go with that's worse. How about this?
Could you imagine a basketball bench where just sitting, spitting in, oh, eating and snotting?
No, absolutely not. The baseball bench is one of the weirdest ecosystems in all of sports.
Now, all right.
Yeah.
I got one last thing to go to here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Did you see Kobe's Instagram post?
I saw that Kobe was trending. I'm like, and I just never had time to check. Was he something about kids? Yeah. Some kids team?
So he posted something about the fourth grade girls team that he coaches, basketball team.
Yeah.
And it was about how they won a match 115-27. Mm-hmm. And he pointed out how 2 years previously that team had lost 22-21 to the same club.
Yeah.
And this was like a revenge match for them. But in the original posting, he is dressing down his team.
Really?
They're like little kids.
Yeah.
And he puts, so this, these fourth place winners in quotation marks.
Yeah.
There's 6 of them pictured here. The 7th went to a dance recital, so you can tell where her priorities are.
First off, that's awesome. Because here's the thing.
I thought you would love this because he calls out the kids for being losers.
I love it. But here's the thing. You had to know this was going on. Like, if I say to you, Bob, I had a horrible day. And you ask, why, Matt? I'm like, well, I decided on this new sport. It's where I go in a sack, and then I put a Wolverine in the sack with me, and I punch it in the face, and then I just see what happens. And you know what happened? It attacked me, and it scratched me. It hurt. What do you think's going to happen if Kobe's coaching you?
As the great Homer Simpson once said, these bees are stinging me with their stingers somehow.
Yeah, exactly. Kobe went Kobe.
Yeah.
I expect nothing less.
My favorite part of that whole story, everyone seemed to focus on him being pretty dismissive to the team.
Yeah.
I think the fact he let his team run it up 115-27.
Yeah.
He let his team win by 90 points, and they were 9-year-old girls.
So what you're telling me is that Kobe made a morally questionable decision. Huh. You know, well, there's a first for everything.
Even better after all that. Hashtag Mamba mentality.
Oh, yeah. Oh, did he? Did he put it up there?
He did.
It's the lamest thing. He came up with his own nickname. It's so lame.
Did he come up with
Mamba? That was all him.
That was him?
It was him. Oh, yeah. Yeah, there was no one else.
Who was his best friend after Derek Fisher? I think him and Derek Fisher kind of got along, but Fisher probably was smart enough to know.
Yeah.
Like, that was the J.R. Smith, a LeBron thing.
Oh, yeah.
You'll just always have a job.
What's the fish that hangs out underneath the shark?
A pilot fish.
Yeah. Like that's
a remora.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I don't have an answer for you because when you said who was Kobe's friend, I was about to go Derek Fisher, and then you said it. So
anyone ever stepped up and said, man, I really enjoyed playing with Kobe?
Nope.
Not I succeeded.
Mm-hmm.
Not I learned.
Yep.
But I enjoyed.
I enjoyed it. It was fun. No. No, absolutely not. You know, I admired him. Not at all shocked.
Is there anybody in sports right now who's that guy? who's so good that you can't deny the success, but who's so terrible that you have a hard time rooting for him. And I don't mean just the, like, the Colorado stuff is a different category.
Yeah, that's just all wrong. Okay, but, so I won't include it. Could I have done Antonio Brown before the sexual assault cases, but now that's there.
Well, and you know what? I would have talked about it today, but I don't feel like I understand the case well enough before
civil
I start shooting.
Yeah, it's a civil suit, not a criminal suit. The NFL is going to investigate. She is cooperating. It's a bit of a he said, she said that's going on.
You know, I gave a quick look at the story, but I didn't feel confident you can talk about someone's character or somebody's claims just by skimming quickly a story. So
it's very true. But before that, I would go with him. Let's see. NBA.
Nobody in the NHL is bad.
Anthony Davis, I'm not exactly thrilled with just what he did.
But I don't know if he's bad to his teammates. He may be just a total jerk.
Well, he was bad to his teammates in New Orleans.
Now, that's true.
Yeah.
That's all, folks.
Yeah, that's all, folks. Like,
where's the t-shirt on his final day?
Yeah. That's and, you know, worst. Doesn't want to play and is leaving games early. So
Lakers are pretty easy to hate this year.
What's that?
Lakers are pretty easy to hate this year.
Oh, yeah, absolutely they are.
Still hate the Clippers more because of something that may or may not have happened with Kawhi. But
I can't hate the Clippers. I can't. Kawhi gave me so much joy.
I know.
I can't. You know, Anthony Davis, he's one of the guys where, you know, I'm not exactly thrilled with.
We need a West Coast team. My daughter just yelled out, Kawhi betrayed us. And you know what? I'm not saying I talked to her about that.
Uh-huh.
But I, might, but I might have. Maybe I did and maybe I didn't. Yep. You know what I mean?
We're just about out of time, Bob.
Yeah, it's 9 o'clock. I got to get her to bed.
Yeah.
I still got to. Yeah, I know you're
shocking.
Fine.
Charlotte doesn't want to go to bed.
So she'll go. You know what? Honestly, she told me the other day she wants to challenge. She wants to challenge to stay up all night.
Yeah.
Just to see if she can do it.
Every
she
kid wants to do that.
Didn't you?
Yeah.
Totally.
Loved it. And then.
Did you ever make it? How long was it until you could do it?
Oh, I was probably like.
High school for me.
Yeah, high school, maybe grade 8, but what we used to do it, you know, if it's a school day tomorrow, you can't do it
honey,
tonight.
Honey, no. No, come here.
Yeah,
you talk can't. To Uncle Matt. It's not a Friday.
It's Thursday. Thursday.
You got to go to
Thursday.
School tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's a Friday. What do they teach you at this school?
Yeah. I blame the parenting.
Hang on. Say bye to Uncle Matt.
Bye, Uncle Matt.
Goodbye, Charlotte. Again, congratulations on the track and field.
Thank you. I came in first.
I know you did. I know, but good for you to reiterate.
Reiterate means to say again.
I know.
You don't know what reiterate means.
Yes, I do.
Okay, what's it mean?
You just said it.
Hey, I learned reiterate as well. I was 29. And then you used to try to go to bed, but then the TV would go would play the national anthem,
mm-hmm.
and then would just go to snow. Just
yeah. Bars and tone,
or snow, one or the other,
or Channel 47. You could always watch Channel 47 all night long.
Yeah, you could. Oh, yeah. goes back to watching that episode of Benny Hill. Yeah. Oh, comes around. I will see you next week, Bob.
You will.
You have a excellent weekend, and I think the Bills beat the Giants. And I hope next time we talk, Marner is signed. I don't think it's going to happen.
I don't think so either. And you know what? The Bills are going to start 2-0, and it's going to be exciting, and they're going to finish 8-8.
Yep.
It's going to be the same year every year.
Mm-hmm.
You've always been the caretaker.
Thanks for listening to the Macko and Cause podcast. Remember to subscribe on iTunes or Audioboom. And if you like the podcast, leave a review. If you don't like the podcast, then maybe don't leave a review.